Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I tell you, there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. Amen. It's a shame that there's people that are afraid and ashamed of that name in our day and hour, and they call themselves Christians. You know, there's power and authority in that name. You know, when you talk to heathen people, you'll find that they don't like to say the name Jesus. They'll say, oh, the man upstairs, you know, the big guy, you know, and they'll say like that. They don't like to speak that name because there's something that moves on your inside when you speak that name. It's the name that makes the devils fear and tremble. Amen. And then on the other hand, people use the name so lightly and loosely, and they think because they speak that name that it's like a magic, you know, and it's going to do something. But there's an anointing and an authority, and that dwells in a spirit that comes only by that name. Amen. I come with that kind of an expectation this morning. Most gracious Father, we thank you, Lord God, that these songs have a place in our hearts, Lord God, and that we could really truly worship you, Lord God, in spirit and praise your wonderful name. Fathers, we've found you present with us, Lord God, in our day of need, most gracious Father. We found, Lord God, that your hand is not short, Lord God, nor that your ears are closed to our cries. And Lord God, as we stand in the behalf of a lost and dying generation, Lord God, stand in the midst, Lord, trying to be a light shining out within the darkness of carnality and intellectual human reasoning, Lord God. Fathers, we unify together, coming together in the house of God this morning, Lord God. We come with a true expectation, a hunger and thirst after your will, your word, Lord God, to speak to our hearts, Lord God, to offer direction and guidance to us, Lord God. Father, let us perceive and hear and comprehend, Lord God, your word this day. Father, let us discern the voice of God that is speaking to us, Lord, that we could apply the things that we hear and take heed to the things that we hear, Lord God. Father, knowing that we have people listening by the way of telephone, Lord God, and they're sitting in our presence and listening, Lord God. And Father, even knowing that these messages go forth, Father, we ask you to anoint, Lord God, the word, Lord God, that when it goes out and goes forth, Lord God, that it'll go as a quickening spirit, Lord God, setting asunder, Lord God, the things that would be unpleasing to you, Lord God. And Father, encouraging and strengthening those things that remain, Lord God, and give us a true, genuine endurance, Lord God. Father, let us perceive and understand that all the things that are taking place and happening within our midst are ordained from you, Lord God, and that you're having your way in them, Lord God, for we could have a faith and a strength to stand, Lord God, and be unmovable, Lord God. Father, knowing that this is for our good because we know that we love you. I don't question the love that the brethren have for you, Lord God, nor the love that you have for them, Father. And we know that these things are happening in our midst, that you could show yourself in your mighty hand. Let us not be weary in well-doing or waver, Lord God, in faith, or be shipwrecked in faith, Lord God. But let us stand strong in the wonderful name of Jesus. We have expectation, Lord God, and we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Young, be seated this morning. The kids are dismissed to go on to Sunday school today. I purpose to bring some of the letters. I just received some more letters from some of the ministers in Africa. I purpose to bring a few of them over to share with you, to encourage you in your labors and your efforts. And I know many of you are trying to make time available to help us with our endeavors of getting things on the written page out. Maybe in the next service or two, I'll bring some of the letters over, and it's been very encouraging. One of the pastors wrote, and he said, you know, the pamphlets that you sent to us in Swahili and English, he said, are very anointed. He said, it's moving the people, and he says, it's causing our church to grow. We've been distributing this literature, and he said, I want to thank you, and he said, we have an urgent need for you to be here. He acted like he wanted me to come right now, and I'd love to, honestly speaking. I would love to think I can go to the airport tomorrow, and I could. I know that the Lord make a way, and I most definitely could, so I'm not saying in any kind of doubt or unbelief that I couldn't, but I'm just saying my heart's desire is to be with people and encourage them and help them in faith, and we will find the time to make another trip over there as things are being prepared now. He has a pretty intense schedule for us, it looks like. I know last time They did. And when I go into the foreign fields, I'm not interested in going there for the frolics or to really see the countries. I mean, it is nice when you're there to get to look the countryside over and see places that you haven't been. And I do enjoy that. But I want to be spent. I want to be used for the gospel and used up. And you know, if they run me from church to church or place to place or put me before people to speak and then take me wore out and tired to the airport, put me on an airplane, send me home, I'm well pleased and feel very well satisfied, which we did last time we was there. We spent the last day, got to look around a little bit, and even in that, we visited a couple works and different things. But that's my desire, brothers and sisters. So keep these brethren in prayer, and that they could receive the word, and we can get some other things sent to them. Brother Richard Shepard's called me yesterday and said that they're out of literature, and he's wanting more literature, and he's getting some letters from some of them in Africa and different places requesting. And we just sent some down to him, taking some down, so he hadn't gotten that yet. But let's be in prayer and encourage the brethren there in Georgia. You know, if you have something that does something for the Lord, if it's a printing press and you're using it to get the written page out, or if you've got a vehicle that you utilize to bring people to the house of God or to do something for the Lord, then it could be blessed. But when you're done and you're done with it, you know, if you're not using it, then go on, give to somebody that can use it or do something for the glory of God with it. So our strength and things isn't in material substance, brothers and sisters, and that moves many people. You know, there's so many people that are moved by substance, and there's most definitely an uncertain sound that lays there within. Turn over the Old Testament to the book of Jeremiah this morning. We'll do a little bit of reading. I want to encourage you this morning in the Word of God, brothers and sisters, and I want you to come to a place in the Lord that you have faith and trust in God. You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, there's things that come into our midst and circumstances and people, personalities, complications. Things might arise in your work day or in your work field, or things could happen possibly in family and friends. And all of these things, brothers and sisters, when we really realize who we are in Christ, we know that these things were ordained of God. And when I speak like this, don't think that I don't understand that there's a prince and a power of this air. There is a God of this world, and he has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and he is in the midst, and he's always trying to cause problems. But I want you to think this way, that God has given you all authority and power over him and all of his wiles, and he has given you everything that pertaineth unto life. He has given you the weapons of warfare that you could stand against the enemy, the adversary, and not be harmed. So the thing is that, you know, sometimes we can go through life and we just think, well, you know, praise God, I've got prayer life and I'll just pray and God will take care of all these things, and he does. But he also wants you to learn to be a warrior, a conqueror, an overcomer. So the thing is that when you could come to realize that when these things that are appear to be satanic influences, satanic powers, and these things that are coming against you, you just need to go into those things with an assurance in the Lord that God has allowed those things and it's for your good. And sometimes, you know, people have a problem with that. Even as I heard a Pentecostal pastor over in Missouri said, well, you know, there's some things that are written in the Word that I think it's a misinterpretation. And he said, I just don't think that it's, I don't think in the English language they interpret it correctly. And he went to the scripture about all things working together for the good of them who love the Lord. And he said, my mama died at 12 years old. And he said, how could that be for my good? He said, I can't receive that scripture. And it really troubled me about this Pentecostal preacher, you know, to even make a statement of such like that. And you've heard me speak of this in times past, and somebody said, well, how could it work for a 12-year-old boy's good? Brothers and sisters, when we have our mind and thoughts on man's ways, man's mind, and man's things, and yes, we're going to say, oh yeah, a 12-year-old boy needs his mama. You know, a 12-year-old boy could be led into hell by his mama too. Now, I don't know anything about this preacher's mother. The best I could remember, she was a Christian woman. But you know, there's a lot of people professing Christianity. I'm just using that as an example. There are mothers that are leading their children into damnation, you know, and if God so saw fit that he removed a mother from a 12-year-old, that this boy could get a hold of the word of God and the gospel, and he could get locked in and steadfast in the word, I say it worked for his good, amen. And he might not see that, Maybe until he's up in years and maybe up in age. But I'm telling you, the Bible is true. The Word of God is true. It isn't a misinterpretation, wrong or in its writings. Brothers and sisters, you know, and say, well, I just don't see how this could work for my good or this could work for my good. It all works for your good if you love the Lord. Amen. And the only thing I could have to question is the love that you truly have for God. Jesus being beaten there and being whooped. I'm sure there might have been a thought that could have crossed his mind. How could this be working for my good? But it added children to him and brought things. A woman in travail thinking, man, this pain is so more than I could bear. How could this be working for my good? But it brings forth a fruit and brings forth a life, brothers and sisters. So all things work for the good. Turn to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter here. We'll read on down in there a little ways. Not exactly sure how far we'll go. And let's just go over here to the first part. It says, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a sign of fire in Beth Hikrim, for evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks that come unto her, they shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her, arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew down trees, and cast them out against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem. Let my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, which their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. I'm going to read on, brothers and sisters, because I haven't got where I'm really wanting to get. You know, and it's something I just made a statement about Jerusalem and speaking about, you know, spiritual Sodom. And we find here this exhortation, this prophetic utterance going forth. But brothers and sisters, you know, you live right here in a blessed country in America. And you read these things and you look to them historically. You look to them as things and events that took place in another land. But brothers and sisters, one thing that we have to remember, that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And these things that we're reading about, if we would take and put in the place here and replace Jerusalem or Israel with America, we would be reading the same thing. It's absolutely the same feelings that God has for America. You see, the people are patriotic in our country. You know, bless God, I'm an American. You know, bless God, I'm this and that. And this is a godly nation. This is a Christian nation. We're blessed of God. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to contest that. But this nation is turned away, just as Jerusalem turned away, just as Israel turned away from God. And they didn't delight in his word. America's not delighting in the word of God. They're taking and trampling the word of God under their feet. They're lightly esteeming and mocking the word of God. You know, you could say, well, Brother Rob, you know, you sound like a doomsday prophet. You know, it's always bringing out this and that. Brothers and sisters, I want to keep you aware with what is taking place, because there's people that are putting their trust and their faith and their hope in things that don't have no strength and no stability, and all hope gone to this country. People, you know, somewhat would mock some of the things and the utterances that come forth from Brother Pike. You know, oh yeah, you know, he said the government's gone, you know, but we still got, you know, since he said that, we've had a few presidents come in and out, and they're still voting and they're still making decisions. They still got legislation going on, and he says the government's gone. Brothers brothers and sisters, you don't know how to watch things by the Spirit of God. You know, I could say that man's dead. You know, there's no hope. He's twice dead. Oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about. Man, he's functioning. He's blessed in business, man. He's going on. You know, I see him. He comes to the house of God. He's testifying the Lord. And man, you know, but that doesn't mean anything, brothers and sisters, when you go and look at things by the Spirit of God. You know, there's people that make believe. There's people that pretend. There's people that will worship. You know, they go through the motions. You know, the Bible said you're on the lips, but the heart's far from them. We have to learn to discern and understand. But I wanted to stop there and just say that, you know, the Bible teaches that he'll give us the fruit of our thoughts. And sometimes we're afraid to think certain thoughts because we think we're going to produce the fruit. These things that I'm speaking right now are not the fruit of my thoughts, brothers and sisters. I'm speaking to you what's happening in a nation. I'm speaking to you what's going on, the things I'm observing and watching. You know, and sometimes we could speak things and people say, well, man, be careful what you speak because it'll come to pass. Well, some of the things have already come to pass and we're speaking what we're seeing. You say, well, don't say America's gone. It could come to pass. It's already come to pass. It's a desolate nation. America's turned into a heathen nation. That would be so offensive to the religious leaders of this country because they've got their hope in the government. They've all signed their 501c3s in their churches for they can get government help and they can get food from the government and they can take and distribute and do this. They've got their faith in the government. They've gone towards the arm of the flesh. You know, everything focuses around that. They've turned the churches into business. They've turned them into organizations. They run them by the businessmen. The churches of America are ran by the businessmen of America. They're operated through carnality and carnal mind and human reason. I think if we do this, we could bring people in. I think if we do this, we could do more. If we let's rock up our music a little bit, let's get a little bit more to what's happening. You know, we'll be able to draw them in. I'm not interested in drawing people in. I'm interested in winning souls. And let the Lord add to whatever he so will in the church. Amen. Let's go back over to verse 13 here. Jeremiah 6, the 13th verse. It says, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophets, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. You know, brothers and sisters, something we have to watch in our lives. You know, we could always say, well, this one's got the problem with materialistic things, and this one's got the problem with this. But brothers, this is something that all men have to deal with. We covet things, we want things, we desire things, we're looking for things, wanting things, desiring things, looking, wanting, desiring, looking, wanting, and going after. And man, we get in a wilderness. There's no satisfaction in that. You know, none whatsoever at all. You see, brothers, there's spirits that motivate us in doing things. We can get ourselves in these ruts. Why do we have these things? What is motivating us? What are we looking for? What are we doing? Why are these things? Man, they're not doing anybody no good. What is the motivating factor? What's motivating us to do some of the things that we do? We find ourselves going, seeking, and wanting, and desiring, and then we've got it, and like, now what are we going to do with it? I wish I could give it to somebody else. Like Brother Pike said, hey, go ahead and set your faith, get a new car, but you better keep setting it every month to make the payment. Better keep on setting that faith and setting that faith, amen? But you know, sometimes we have to break away from the things we're doing. This is why it's good sometimes, you know, we say fast. It's just to, you know, we eat. Sometimes fast, and then all of a sudden you break that and say, look, I've got dominion over this. I got authority over this. I could do this. And sometimes it might be putting a stop to some of our activities. Brother Pike made a statement one time. He said, you know, a man that goes to the work the same place every day, he said he ought to change his route once in a while. You know, not go to the same old road every day. He said, man, you get yourself a little Satan lay a trap for you. And he'll start watching your habit, you know, and you get, and people get in habits. They wear a rut out. And then pretty soon it's easy to go through life that way. You're just going down the road, man. The wheel's already set down that rut, and you got your hands off the wheel. Hey, this is all right. And you're just going on a death march. You know, we need to set our course, and we need to sometimes knock down and beat a new path, so to speak. It says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. I find people doing that. And I don't mean to just go line upon line like this here, but you know, I find people sometimes they take the word of God and they speak the things that are written and true. And I like that when it's faith intermingled with it. When people say, oh man, you know, man, I've got faith. You know, and praise God. And they speak something that would seem so different to the circumstance. You know, they could be looking at a loved one that's dying and say, you know what, I got peace. Man, I've got faith in my heart. God's going to move for my mother, my father, my brother, whatever it is, my child. God's going to move. See, I like that. I like to see those things where they're speaking against the circumstances or of the things. But sometimes people, they'll quote the word. I had a man quote the word back to me the other day as I was offering exhortation to him for a filthy, ungodly lifestyle and filthy actions and things. And he said, well, nothing could pluck me out of the hand of God. Hey, I believe the word. But let me tell you something. You ain't in God's hand when you're living in adultery and fornication and drunkenness and coming against the word of God and coming against the preacher. You know, turn around and preach, well, you know, bless God. I'm born of God. I can't sin. You don't need to be putting that kind of word back to the preacher. I know what the word of God says, brothers and sisters. And the problem is that's the correct quoting of the word. Ye that are born of God cannot sin. But brothers and sisters, when you're willfully active in sinful lifestyle and you're going against the mind and the will of God is just a manifestation that you're not born of God. You do not have His Spirit. So you're not eligible to quote that. You know, if we went to over here to some king's palace, you know, and you're a king's kid and you're sitting at the king's table and you can say, man, I'm a son of the king, you know, but some other rascal walks in the door, man, and he might not even get through the door. He can't stand there and say that if he isn't born of that bloodline there. He can't stand and say that. You know, it feels good to stand out in the front of the palace, man, I'm a king's kid. You know, but when they won't let you in, is another deal altogether. So, you know, I find people that are like this. It said slightly here. You know, talking about the daughters, it said, I'll read it again. It says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. And there's people who get slight condolence, so to speak, when they speak these things, you know. But let me tell you, there's not no slight to it when you are full of the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost to heal, comfort you in the midst of the storm. He'll speak peace and these things will settle down. Verse 15, it says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Brothers and sisters, what are the old paths? Sometimes we use these things, quote these things, and talk about these things. But what are the old paths? If we're going to speak denominationally speaking for a moment, I can't name a denomination, a Pentecostal. I can't name any sect of people that you could say, well, I could number them, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Catholics, church. Which one of them has stood? And what would be the old paths? You go back 50 years ago, and the Pentecostal preachers would have somewhat, the Baptists had standards. Brother David was telling me yesterday, he said, you know, he used to be what they called primitive Baptists. There's even an understanding through the Baptist circles. They talk about the old-time Baptists. Let me tell you, there was some old-time Baptist men that loved the Lord. I believe Billy Sunday was numbered as a Baptist. I mean, this man, when he would go into a community, into an area, into a town, he'd turn the town upside down. The bars would close down. The town would shut down. And, you know, you say, well, this is the way the Baptist should be. Yes, it is. You know, just because we say, hey, praise God, we're Pentecostals, and we look down over on Baptists. Let me tell you, there are some Baptist ministers, and I'm sure there probably still are some, that fully love the Lord, and they preach the gospel, and they preach the word of God, and they had an expectation of God to win souls and to save souls. And, you know, but when we're talking about, you know, the old paths, the Baptists have left the old paths. The Pentecostals have left the old paths. The people have, they've sought after something new. And they think it's God. You know, there's no new thing under the sun, according to what I understand in the Bible. Where are we going to remove the standards of holiness? Where are we going to remove the standards of convictions and think that it's different this day? But what happens is there's influences, outward influences that keep coming and keep coming, and all of a sudden you'll find your sense of conviction compromised. And all of a sudden you make a little allowance here, make a little allowance here. Mothers and fathers do it continually for their children. Well, you know, man, the kids need to have this and the kids need to have that. You know, I think back and even of some of the stories, some of you, I never was a fan of Little House on the Prairie, but it was somewhat, people used to think it used to keep a little bit of at least decency. But you know, if you would think back to even those days, if we're talking about old past, those kids, you know, would get a shiny penny for Christmas. That's what they got. Where are the old paths? They say, well, we're in the day and hour of abundance and blessings, you know, and you know, we just bless our kids with abundance and things. Is that good? Do they have appreciation? Do they have respect? Sometimes children, you know, before when things were a little bit harder to come by and a little bit harder to get, they respected what they had. They took care of what they had. Kid might take his bicycle in at night. He might wash it off and clean it up a little bit, but nowadays everything comes so easy, there's no respect for anything. Don't have no care for it. And just let it go, the pot. We'll get another one. This and that. See, the thing is it's wonderful to have an abundance and to live in a house of abundance. But brothers and sisters, we don't ever want to leave the past of our things that are precious in our sight or our substance. And we honor God and love the Lord and thank God for the things that we have. And if we can't distill that in our children, then we're doing something wrong. I shared with you about a very wealthy farmer that was in my hometown. He was raising his grandson, but his grandson had no appreciation for anything. He had a brand new truck, and he got tired of his truck, and he went out and poured gasoline on it, lit on fire. He had a brand new Harley Davidson. He got tired of it, and he gave it to the guy. He said, just take it. I'll report it stolen. Just take off and go with it. The man ended up on drugs. He ended up going to prison for armed robbery. Had all the money ever. But you see, Granddad was giving him everything, but wasn't teaching him how to work. Wasn't teaching him a mind of work or a mind of appreciation. Things came too easy. You see, brothers and sisters, this is a parallel to what we call religion today. Everything's too easy. Oh, it's a free gift of God. It was given to us, praise God. I believe that, brothers and sisters. That's the word of God. We can't earn this salvation. Just like the thing that Brother Paul was mentioning about, where Paul said, you know, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? The things I want to do, I find myself not doing. You see, he was paralleling showing the law there. You know, we can't live by the law and find this salvation. It's not within the members of our flesh. It's contrary to everything in God. We've got to learn to appreciate. Yes, we need to have a testimony and knowing that we're saved by grace, not by works. But that doesn't mean we don't have works. This is where we get out of balance. You see, we think, well, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. You know, so praise God, we don't need works. That's error. That's gross error. That's grotesque error. I mean, if you don't have works, you ain't got faith. And if you ain't got faith, you'll never see God. You'll never know God. And you surely never please God. But it isn't your works that brought forth the faith. Your faith is producing works. So you seek after faith and faith in God. So, you know, we have to learn to examine, to consider. What are we doing? What are we doing for our children? What are we doing for them? This is a day and hour that children don't have respect. You know, what happened to the children with respect? What happened to yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and those kind of things? Children don't have respect for authority no more. They've taken away. I like the little paper that Brother Ed gave me. You know, some people would look at it as comical, possibly, but it's the truth. And it was an obituary wrote for common sense. You know, an obituary for common sense. It's common sense is gone. You know, we could still call it common sense that we have for the fear of God. We can have a common sense for the things of God, you know, but where's common sense at? In the gospel, in the word of God. You know, people just taking and trampling everything under feet, living lasciviously, and they want to call upon God. You know, sometimes we take and mess things up and get things all goofed up, and we just want to call on God to come straighten it all up. You know, a natural father, when he sees his kid get himself in a mess, he ain't always going to straighten it out. He's going to teach the kid to straighten it out. That's what he's going to do if he's a true father. If you're always cleaning up the messes for your children, they're not going to learn not to quit making them. They're going to have to learn a responsibility that they got to clean them up. What more so do you think our Heavenly Father is going to do? He's going to allow us to make these messes. He's going to allow us to crash ups. He's going to allow us to be on our face. But he's going to expect us to have enough strength to get back up. The Bible said a righteous man getteth back up. It didn't say that God picketh him back up. It said that he gets up. There's a time that we got to learn to get up and stand on our feet. We got to endure. We got to show ourselves to be men. You know, we got to show strength. We got to learn to understand what the mind and the will of God is in our lives. Let's go back down here to some scripture again. And I'm going to go back to verse 15 there. It says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? I watch people that are living like dogs, and they don't seem to have no shame in them about it whatsoever. And then they want to quote the word and act like they have allowances to live like filthy pigs and beasts and swines and dogs. You say, Brother Rob, you don't need to talk that way. That's exactly the way it is. I can't express it any other way. I got more respect for a filthy sow pig out laying in the mire, because that's what it's supposed to do, than a man that just goes right back into abomination and things unpleasing to God. Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Ask for the old time holiness. Ask for the old time convictions. Ask for the old time ways of dress and moderation. Ask for the ways, brothers and sisters. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offering are not acceptable, nor your sacrifice sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay a stumbling block before this people. Who's going to lay it, brothers and sisters? Amen. And the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh forth from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. And they shall lay hold on bow and spear, and they are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and ride upon horses set array as men for war against thee, O daughters of Zion. Brothers and sisters, the thoughts of America are evil. They've taken and perverted the Word of God. And let me tell you this, I could speak about the government of America, and you've heard me speak, and it would sound very disrespectful. But let me go beyond that just a little bit farther and tell you where the true, genuine problem is at. Judgment begins in the house of God. And this is where the problem has come forth from and arise, is that we've taken the things out of the church first. Discipline departed the church. The ministers are not thoroughly equipped with the Word of God anymore to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all long-suffering. They've departed the Word of God. They've taken and compromised, and they're tickling itching ears, as the Word of God says. And this is where the problem has begun. This is where the problem started at. And it has affected, and God has been gracious enough and merciful enough to show us by what's going on within the government, what's going on within the homes. They all run a parallel. I know you've heard me speak about this, brothers and sisters. We have people that are dealing with complications right now and perplexities in their households and their families and their lives and things. And all they got to do is look back at the old past. And sometimes we've been guilty. We see that we've had maybe examples before us, or maybe even possibly mothers and fathers that were people of prayer and that stood. And we saw that when the enemy moved in like a flood, when the adversary come, we saw them go to their knees and they stood and they weren't wavered, and they didn't have a negative confession with their mouth. They didn't speak ways of defeat. They didn't strengthen the hand of the enemy. They didn't talk about the strength and the power of the adversary. They said, you know what? My God is real. My God is alive. My God's hand is not short. I'm unmovable in Him. I'm planted on a rock to stay. He can't touch me. He can't lay anything to my charge. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances or what these fiery darts look like to you. I'm an overcomer, and we will prevail, and we will overcome, and we'll see God move in our behalf. We'll see Him move in our midst. We will see the outcome of this, and we're more than conquerors, and we have victory. This is the way I'm talking about the old past. They stood. Everything wasn't easy. Everything wasn't handed. Everything wasn't just poured out. They learned to press. They learned to fight. They learned to hold on. They learned to stay upon their knees before the Lord with an expectation and a hope. So now we find these things happening in our midst, and we think, oh man, it's the devil. Oh man, you know, this is happening. Oh, and this is evil, and this is wicked, and this is wretched. But God is trying to bring us to a place, brothers and sisters, that we could stand and be unmovable. And He is allowing these things to happen that we could get a hold of Him and more of Him and desire and go back to the old past. When we speak doubt, when we speak unbelief, when we have a confession in our mouth, when we've given up, we're people that don't ever give up. We don't get weary in well-doing, brothers and sisters. We stand and we're unmovable, amen. And we don't have a negative confession. Our confession isn't negative. Where do we give up as the sons of God? Where do we just throw in the towel, so to speak, to the devil? When do we do that? No. And we just keep trust. You know, where is faith? Faith isn't in a negative confession. You know, like I said, we got to rend the veil and understand there's people that say the right things, but there's no faith mingled with it or coupled with it whatsoever at all. But I'm saying this, if you've got faith, your confession is going to be accurate and right. If you're walking in faith and you're going to come against the adversary and make a stand against him, your mouth will speak the proper confession. Your thoughts will be in order because he's going to give you the fruit of your thoughts, just as we've already given this nation the fruit of their thoughts. If your thoughts are failure, your thoughts that God's not moving for you, your thoughts that you're going to lose everything you got, and your thoughts are that way, that's exactly, he's going to give you the fruit of your thoughts. The problem isn't God. The problem isn't the provisions of God. The problem isn't God fighting your battles. That's not the problem. The problem is your thoughts. The problem is that you're not standing and warring against the adversary. He's came and caused you to stumble in the way you think. And that's what moves God. That's what's important to God. Your substance isn't as important to God as the way you think. Because the way you think will bring you into eternal life and glory with God. But your substance isn't going to get you into eternal life. Your substance isn't going to put your name in the book of life. You know, you could go on through life and say, well, it don't matter. You know, I know I'm a Christian. These things are just happening because of the devil. No, there's more so than being a Christian. You know, there's more to it than just because you say you're a Christian. Christians are strong. They're overcomers. They're more than conquerors. They're unmovable. They're planted. They're established. It doesn't matter if you take the Christian substance away from him. It doesn't matter if you take his homes, his houses. It doesn't matter if you take his car. He's still standing saying, my God is alive. My God's on the throne. My God is well. My God is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, these things are working for my good. These things are working. Amen. And that's the testimony of a saint of God, one that loves the Lord. They're not moved by the circumstances of the financial, not moved by the circumstances of the work or the industry or the government or the stock market. They're not moved by those things. They're unmovable. They're standing, they're planted, they're established, and their testimony is real, and they're testifying God, and they're continually praising him. Amen. Are you worshiping? Are you praising? Are you steadfast? You know, but when your faith is shook and your testimony is shook, your confession is poor, and your thoughts are downcast, and you're downcast and you're depressed and you're oppressed, how can you say that you're a son of the Most High God? You know, come on, brothers and sisters. Gird up your loins like men. Lift up your voice and press your way into the things of God and the kingdom of God. Amen. And rejoice in the Lord and praise him. Amen. Say, thank you, Lord, for allowing this. I see this is all for my good because I know I love you. And this is working for my good, most gracious Father. And I see your hand. Amen. And sometimes we need to know. Sometimes we go through life and we got everything under control. Man, I've got the T's crossed. I got the I's dotted. I got this under control. I got my bank account established. I got my savings account. I've got this. I got that. And I've got everything I need. You know what? How in the world are you going to even exercise faith? You're going to be like the Laodicean Day Church. Man, you're rich and you have no need of God. I mean, that's a terrible place to be. You know, when you got everything under control, sometimes God's going to kick the props out of something and he's going to allow this and that to come for he makes sure that you're looking to him and you're testifying him and you're praising him and glorifying him. Amen. He likes it when you get to that place. I told you about the man that comes and said, man, I'm losing my job. I'm addicted to crack cocaine, man. My wife's leaving me this then. I said, man, I've never seen you in such a great place. And that was the truth because the man wasn't looking for God. And man, it seemed like, hey, I got my dope. I got my drugs. I got my wife. I got a job. Everything's fine. But when all that started to leave him, all of a sudden, man, he thought, man, I got to get to the preacher. Man, I got to get over to the house of God. Yeah, what a great place. You see, but when you judge things by the mind of man, oh, the poor guy, man, he's losing his job. Oh, his wife's going to leave him. Oh, man, what a terrible thing, man. You know, but you think like a man. You see, this is the preparation from God. God has allowed this thing to come. He's allowed this evil to come to that city for that man to get right with God because he's more concerned for that man's soul than he is for his blessed marriage. He's more concerned for his soul than he is for his job. You understand that? God will manipulate or move things around on your jobs and your marriages and those things because he's concerned for one thing. He's concerned for your soul. He's concerned for your life. He wants to see you pressing into the things of God. Where's the old past?
You know, is it testified of you that you used to press in for God? Is it testified of you used to do something for God? Is it testified of you used to have a vision? Is it testified of you used to do this? What a sad thing, brothers and sisters. If you used to do something, you should be doing more today and more of it today. A man was upset. He said, well, I've heard you use me for an example. You know, you said, well, you know, if you gave $30,000, you ought to give $60,000. You know, he said, I don't like that. Hey, but you know what, brothers and sisters? My expectation is to do more. That's my expectation. That's my desire. This is what motivates me and drives me to do more for God. You know, if I just go through this life, oh, praise God, you know, I've done something last month. You know, praise God, we gave out 10,000 tracts last month. You know, or gave out 30,000. You know, let's just kick back for a month or two. You know, let's don't sweat. Man, I don't feel that way. I'm thinking if I have the ability to do 50 this month, I hope I could do 60 next month. You understand what I'm saying? If I witness to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ today, I'm hoping I could witness for him tomorrow. I hope I could be a testimony. You know, this living on yesterday's things don't work. It doesn't work naturally, does it? Man, I ate a great big steak last Sunday. Boy, it was so good after church. It was good. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you waited from then till then Saturday, you're thinking, man, that thing is running a little bit thin right now. I need a little bit more. You know, but isn't that the same way with God? How come you ate something yesterday and you think you're still satisfied? You're perishing. You're weak. We got to eat of him and know that he's good. We got to draw. And you say, well, the scripture says that we'll never thirst ever again. I understand the word and understand the scriptures and understand how to apply it, brothers and sisters. But when you have that spirit, the reason you never thirst of it again is because it's always there and you're always drinking of it and you're always taking of it. Brother Pike said, I don't want to be just full of the Holy Ghost. He said, I want to stay full of the Holy Ghost. I want to stay full. You know, praise God, man, I danced in the spirit yesterday. Man, I spoke in tongues last month, you know, and I did this and done that. Who cares? What are you doing today? What's up today in your life? Brothers and sisters, I have people call and they want prayer and they want prayer requests and this and that, and you just listen. And then you find the mind of God and you find the voice of God. And brothers and sisters, he's having his way. In everything. He's having his way. I see, you know, every direction I look, I see things shaking. I see things being moved. I see things, you know, foundations being shook. God's trying to get us as the saints of God into a place that we're established and we're unmovable. You know, if you're established because of substance, if you're established because your house payment's paid, if you're established because you got a good, strong business, that's not what we need to be established in. Those things can be fruit, brothers and sisters, of an overflowing abundance of Christ, of him giving us life and things. And those things can be, and we can glorify and testify him. But if that's where our strength is, and this is how we judge godliness and holiness by worldly gain, man, we're missing the Lord. We have totally missed God altogether. You know, and I'll tell you, there's people that don't understand how to discern between those things. You've heard me say it from the sacred desk here. Sometimes those things will be the things that testify against you on the day of judgment. You know, one says, man, praise God, God gave me this. He gave it to you for you could be judged of the Lord. You know, what has he given you? I'll tell you, when God gives you something, you utilize it for the work of God. If you're not utilizing something that you have for the glory of God, then get rid of it. I'm telling you. If you can't use your home to bring glory to God, if your home is a reproach, and your home and the things in your home and the substance of your home, you're ashamed to have people come into your home because of this or that, because the things you have are unvirtuous, your home's not doing something for the glory of God. Your home needs to testify the love of God. There should be a peace in your home when people come in, but they find a rest and the things of God. If not, it can't glorify God. And it's something that'll testify against you. If it's your business, if it doesn't bring glory to the work of God and glory to the Lord. You know, a businessman that's in business, he needs to be looking to bring glory to the things of God. You need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. When you go out here to a home and you're thinking, man, I've got to go here to make money. You know, I'm here to make money. Man, I'm going to get every bit of money I can out of this thing. You think like this, your time is going to be robbed from you. Your efforts aren't going to happen like you. You should be going there to bless those people with fine job, for it could glorify God and look for a testimony. You could bring testimony to the things of God by your work habits, by your actions, by the conduct and the way that you do. It should bring glory to God. If it's not bringing glory to God, then your work's not blessed of God. And it never will be blessed of God. You know, and the thing is when you're doing it to bring glory to God, God will take care of you. He'll bring substance to you. Workman's worthy of his
desire. He'll bring substance and he'll bless you with abundance. He'll bless you mightily well. But you don't need to be on the job thinking about, man, I'm going to be here if I can make money or do this. You want to be there to bring glory to the kingdom of God and look for an opportunity. Brothers and sisters, you might be strapped financially, but maybe you need to be sensitive. When you get on that job, God says, I want you to do this for this elderly woman for nothing to glorify me. And believe me, when you take your time out and do that and say, I just want to bless you with that. God's been good to me and has blessed me, and I'm going to do that. Watch how the next job goes, how the abundance and the things will come in, how they'll open up and bless. You know, brothers and sisters, God's word is real. And when you are concerned about glorifying the kingdom of God and concerned about bringing glory to the kingdom of God and concerned about winning souls and you're concerned about that, God's going to make everything work out. And it's all going to work for your good because you love them. So when you find that the enemy has moved in against you, when you found that the adversary has raised up a standard against you or raised up against you or moved in like a flood, and when you found that all these things are happening, don't get weary. Don't get defeated in your thoughts and in your mind. Just know that God is allowing it. We read right here that God's the one that put the stumbling block. God's the one who went over and hardened Pharaoh's heart. God is the one that prepared these men, Pilate and all of these men. They had a calling and an ordination of God to do the things that they done. Do you realize that? That God had his way in all of it? There was a man that was ordained to take the hammer and drive the nails through the hands of the Lord Jesus. There was another man ordained to hold the nail. There was another man ordained to hold him down there. You see, and I say, that don't make sense, Brother Rob. God has his way, and the preparation of a man's heart is from God. You understand that? And you think that it's just the things that are good. Evil can't come to that city lest I send it, saith the Lord. Well, that's an evil God. It sounds like, no, it's not an evil God. He's a God that's teaching you to war against the adversary. And he's teaching you to be more than a conqueror. He's teaching you to exercise faith. He's shaking your little world a little bit, for you could gird your loins up like a man of God and start walking like a man of God. You'll never have the victory that you need or never have the victory that you want, and you'll never see the outcome of these things that are taking place in your midst when your confession is bad and when your countenance is downcast and when you're oppressed by the things that are happening. Don't let the enemy, don't let the devil see that his ways and his wiles are weakening you, because this is when he's going to pour it on. And the harder he hits and the harder he slaps, turn the other cheek and smile back at him. He don't know what to do when you do that. That's all of a sudden, you know, you take a man that's full of vengeance and rage and anger, and man, he deals with you and you return anger back to him. He knows how to deal with that, but he don't know how to deal with love. I've watched this, brothers and sisters. Man, they expect you to return fire for fire. And when you don't do it, it's like, God, you know, what do I do with this? They don't know what to do with it. I mean, it shuts the things down. It shuts the strength of the enemy down. It shuts the power of Satan down. This is where we got to learn to be. You see, brothers and sisters, the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ are never going to be seen unless there's animosity and adversity and these things out here in the enemy's land. You're never going to see it. You know, you come in amongst us and say, yeah, bless God, I'm a black belt, and man, I'm this and that, I'm bad, I'm one tough hombre like that. You know, and you talk about all this, and boy, you could have us all full, but one day we'll see one day when the adversary comes against you and you can't defend yourself. You see, oh man, I'm a son of God, I'm born again, I got faith, man. I've got the shield of faith, man, the sword of the Spirit. I'm a son of God, hallelujah. And some little old 2-inch long demon spirit comes in and squeaks, and you duck, tail, and run. You know, yeah, you're a great man of valor, aren't you? I'm not mocking brothers and sisters. You know, I understand that. But what I'm saying, let's gird up our loins. You know, let's figure out what's going on. Why is these things happening in our midst? Is our God unconcerned for us? Is he an evil God allowing these things to happen? Oh, poor you. No, come on, man. Just, you know, take your rightful place. Let your thoughts be steadfast upon him. Let your thoughts be established, be unmovable, and start having a confession and knowing the outcome. I'll tell you what, I've seen the spirit of faith move in my life, brothers and sisters, and I've had everything come against me. And I've had things come against me and turn against me, and it seemed like I couldn't find no strength or encouragement on either side. You know, and I'm thinking, my, you know, look at this. But God's hand is not short. He moves, has his way in those things, and shows himself. that yes, you're dependent upon me. Don't ever forget that. We're dependent upon God. We need God every day. We need fellowship with Him, communion with Him. We need to sup with Him and Him with us. We need to continually keep that relationship afresh. When you need a victory, you don't want to talk about your victorious God from 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago. You want to know that He's victorious today. You want to know that He's in your presence on your time of need. You know, it's wonderful to know He moved for Mama and Daddy, you know, but it's wonderful to know that He's moving for you. It's wonderful to know, and we need to have that kind of relationship with Him. And if you're in the Laodicean church and you have no need of nothing and have no need of God and you're rich and naked, then how are you ever going to know your God? He's going to allow you. He might be the one to strip you down just a little bit for you can find the need to get the armor of God on. He might be the one to allow you to get shook a little bit for you could show that you're strong and that you're unmovable. You understand that? Show the strength of the Holy Ghost. Gird up your loins. Amen. Quit, change your confession. Quit poor mouthing. Quit being oppressed. Quit being depressed. Quit thinking that your God isn't the same for your generation as He was for the time last. Let me tell you something. I understand gross darkness. I understand what's happening in America. I understand that the Spirit of God is departing a light. Is receding. I understand the blood coming off the mercy seat. I understand the dispensation of grace coming over. But I understand this also, that my God still is with me. He's still in me. I'm still full of the Spirit of God. And He's doing the same right now in my life that He's done through every generation, through every man of God, through every prophet of God. He is not no different. Just because we see Him pulling back from this world don't mean He's pulling back from us. It doesn't mean that He's leaving us in despair or leaving us to be persecuted or leaving us, you know, without strength. Yes, we'll be persecuted and things, but brothers and sisters, He's with us. He's already been there. He's been beaten, back plowed like a field. Amen. And He's there when they're doing it to you. He's right there with you. He loves us. He's never left us nor forsaken us. He's here. He's now. He is the I Am. He's ever present on that time of need. So remember that. Don't go into these circumstances, these situations with unbelief and doubt, because you're going to get the fruit of your thoughts. When you go in there thinking, well, I'm just not sure how this is going to work out. Well, it isn't going to work out for your good. You need to be sure that it's working for your good. You need to be sure that it's working out for you. You need to be sure that it's all under the ordination of the living God, that He's having His way in it. And when you go into it that way, you can just start rejoicing and thanking Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If it's your desire, you know, it's not His desire for you to lose your substance or anything. But brothers and sisters, you need to not let the substance of those things affect your countenance. And you need to say, praise God. Could you rejoice in the Lord if you lost it? Look at Job, you know. Go ahead and just curse God. Go ahead and curse God. Where are you at, God? I'm getting ready to lose my house. I'm getting ready to lose everything. You know, what about when Jesus went to the rich man and said, take and sell all you got and give it to the poor and come follow me. What if God asked you that today? Oh, I've worked hard for all this stuff. Man, I've given my life for these things. I've had these things. Poor soul. You know, learn to praise God and attend. Amen. Hallelujah. Learn to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, come on. Let's let God be real. Forget about substance and provision. Let's let God be real. Let's stand strong. Our confession is more than our possessions. Our confession is greater because He's the high priest of our confession. And I'm confessing stability and strength in Him. I'm confessing things stored away in invisible places and heavenly places. I'm confessing that. That's more important than worldly gain and substance. Amen. Let's get our confession right with God. And let's praise Him and rejoice. And let's magnify and glorify the living God. Let's stand together, brothers and sisters. I think the Lord said what He wanted to say here this morning. Amen. And I think He said what He wanted to say all the way over there in Tennessee this morning. Amen. And they received the Word of God today. Amen. God took time of His busy schedule on the throne of God. And He visited you this day and this hour with His Word. With the Word from the throne of the living God. Receive. Take heed to the things that you've heard today. Amen. Don't let these things slip at any moment of any time. Stand strong. Rejoice, brothers and sisters. If they're going to persecute you, rejoice. When all of them move in against you, rejoice. When they all speak all manner of evil, rejoice. Amen. When you see it appears that everything has turned against you, man, praise God. You rejoice in the Lord, man. Say hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, you get to really show how strong you really are. You get to show how really mighty you are. How awesome you truly are. Have you witnessed the power of God? Have you witnessed? Or you just lay out of the sin? Oh, I don't really have no need of God to move in my behalf. Man, I got everything taken care of, man. Man, my beacon score's over the roof, man. I'll tell you, man. I still got bumps on my credit card. I ain't rubbed them all off yet, man. You know, I don't need God, man. Everything's okay with me. Praise God. You know, I'm just so blessed to God, you know, that I don't need to really have faith. I'm just so blessed to God. I don't really need to have a prayer life. I'm just so blessed to God. He loves me so much. He just keeps me blessed all the time. You poor, wicked, wretched, filthy. That's sad. You know what? Let me tell you something. You want to get to where you need to be with God, you're going to find that there is a path to walk. And the Lord Jesus showed the example. And you're going to find a Gethsemane experience where you're going to be before the Lord. And you're going to be sweating great drops of blood saying, oh God, help me, strengthen me, Lord God. Amen. Maybe you've never come to a place when the Son of Man cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Maybe you've never found a place like that. But that's when you'll find God. He found the power and the strength of that Spirit of God. And he picked himself up and he marched right into the hands of the enemy and said, you know, why do you come seek me out at nighttime? He said, I walked among you in the daytime, but you know, go ahead, have your way. Here I am, take me. I'm not going to fight you. And he willingly walked and he took himself and walked down the road knowing where it led to. And it was Calvary, brothers and sisters. So rejoice in the Lord. Maybe some of these persecutions and tribulations and some of these things coming against you might be one to win a soul. Maybe it's one to win your neighbor. Maybe it's one to win your brother. Maybe it's one to win your sister. Maybe it's one to win somebody in the kingdom of God. You know, when you only know God because everything's going fine, it's like when the brother called me from Oklahoma. A man was a great example to me in Christianity and taught me a lot of things in my early years of Christianity. And he calls up and he said, Brother Rob, I go to church and the brethren, you know, they say, man, where's your faith, brother? Because he's got Parkinson's disease and he shakes. And the man's 70-some years old. He said, where's your faith at? You know, and he said, man, I feel bad. He said, I trust in the Lord and I'm still standing and believing for a miracle. You know, and trusting the Lord. But I said, you know what, brother? I said, just keep on rejoicing, keep on praising, keep on testifying. And you know what? I said, your family's going to get to see that, you know, God's blessed you for all these years. You've had strong businesses. You've had a strong, healthy business. And you've always had things working good for you and everything. And your family see you serve God and praise God in abundance of blessings. But now that this is coming, you keep on praising Him. I said, it's going to move your family. When they see that dad can stand up and say, my God is still alive. My God is still on the throne. My God is still a healer. My God is still a deliverer. And He's still a Savior. He's still salvation. Amen. And they see that and say, boy, dad does have something. They'd like to see Him curse Him. Oh God, where are you at? I've served you for years. Why aren't you healing my body? Why aren't you taking care of me? That's what the adversary wants to see. And the enemy wants to hear that kind of stuff. But never out of the mouth of a son of God. We rejoice and we praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. If your leg won't work, drag it along and rejoice and praise God. Amen. And love Him. Hallelujah. We don't love God because we're strong. We don't love God because we're healthy. We don't love God because we're rich. We don't love God because we have provisions. We love God because He's an awesome God and He's the Spirit of love and He's given us the same kind of love. And we love Him in persecution and tribulation. We love Him in peril. We love Him if we find ourselves afloat in the deep. It don't matter. We love Him and we testify that He's an awesome God and all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. And all things are after His will. All things are after His counsel. And we just praise and rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. Fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Let your God be real. Amen. And just look at your circumstances and say, thank you, Lord God. I know that this is the preparation, Lord God, that you've made and that you have ordained and that these things are all working to bring glory to the kingdom of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Go in peace and rest. Amen. And knowing, just as Jesus was laying in the bottom of that boat and everybody's fearing for their life, oh, it's over, we're going to die. He was asleep. Amen. So the thing is, go with rest and go with peace, knowing that all this is after God and the ordination of God. Amen. Don't put your God into substance. And don't measure His love by substance. Measure it by the works and the actions of Calvary. Amen. Be willing to suffer for His name's sake. Thank you, Jesus. Be willing to lose all for Him. Amen. That He could be glorified and He'll add back. Look what He done for Job. He added back. Amen. Are you trusting Him to add back and to give an increase? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You won't poor mouth your way out of any situation. You'll praise yourself out of the situation. I see the disciples, when they were going out of the jail to be beaten for the name of the Lord, they went out leaping with great leaps of joy. Amen. Testifying that they were going to be beaten for the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Testify that you're going through the fire because of your love for God. Testify that the tribulations that you're in and the persecutions are for the glory of the living God, to show the love of God. Was you able to stand before your adversary or your enemy and say, I love you? Have you had that opportunity? Have you had that opportunity when they're doing all manner of evil to you, that you could look at them and say, you know, I love you, praise God, and God loves you also. Hallelujah. That moves mountains, amen. That changes things. It changes the course, amen, of humanity. Hallelujah. Be a savior. Be a soul winner. Let God use your life, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did you see the light of the understanding of the mind of Jesus Christ? Have you been filled with the light of His understanding? I feel the Spirit of God, amen. I feel that there's been a yoke broke on a man right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I really, truly feel that there's been a yoke broke. The devil's moved in against him and trying to destroy him. Amen. And he's let it affect him. But I think that this morning that there's been a yoke broke. Amen. Believe and trust in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Believe and trust. You on the way of telephone this morning, just stand and lift your hands up to the Lord and magnify and glorify the Lord. Let's sing another song together as we look to the place to close the service. Hallelujah. Are you thankful that you found your way to the house of God this day? Hallelujah. Because God spoke to you. God took the time out of His busy schedule to come and deal with you and to meet your needs and to speak to your heart. Amen. That's how much He loves you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Let's have an expectation of our God to be a provider, a healer, a deliverer. Amen. Let's expect Him, Lord, to move in our midst, in our behalf. Hallelujah. Let's don't be waver or be shipwrecked in our faith. Amen. Let's stand, hallelujah, and rejoice and praise and glorify and magnify our God, man. It's an awesome God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that He washed my sins away, put them as far as the east is from the west, put my name down in a book of life. Hallelujah. He planted me, brothers and sisters, and I'm unmovable. Amen. I'm not wavering. I'm unmovable. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that your testimony today? If you're in Christ, that's your testimony. You're sealed in, hid away. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands and glorify. Thank Him, amen. Thank Him for your circumstance. Thank Him for your financial place. Thank Him for whatever it is. If you've been put out of your home, rejoice and thank Him and praise God, because now you're like Jesus. You might not have a place to lay your head. Rejoice and magnify and thank Him. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Learn to worship Him and praise Him and thank Him. Hallelujah. There's things coming to your land, to America, that you better learn to get a hold of faith and stand strong against the adversary, the enemy, the devil. You better skirt up to show yourself to be a man, a workman who need not be ashamed. Amen. You need to be girded up in the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. And the strength and the power of His salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Be unmovable. Thank you, Jesus. Be that tree planted by the waters. Amen. Hallelujah. That you could get that taproot way down in there. Hallelujah. That you can't be moved by the storms of this world and the storms of this life. Thank you, Jesus. God's got expectation of you. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Let's worship Him and rejoice and praise Him. We've been in the house of God this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.